Friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So friends, there's this thing that we do that ultimately undermines our faith. We divide existence into two parts. In the first part, we like to think of as the real world. And we identify in this real world the hierarchies and competitions and laws and systems that are currently in place. And then we acknowledge this real world with statements like, that's just the way it is. And the second part is the church world, or as Jesus called, the kingdom of God. And we think this is different and opposite and outside of the real world. We see the kingdom of God as kind of a fantasy world. And in this fantasy world, there are great ideals and virtues and ideas. But we don't really believe that the kingdom of God is the real world. And in fact, we really believe that the kingdom of God has no bearing on the real world. And when the rubber meets the road, when decision needs to be made, when budgets need to happen, when action needs to be taken, the real world wins out. We divide our lives and our actions from our faith and our belief and our ideals. And we give a head nod to the faith world, to the kingdom of God, but we don't actually believe that the kingdom of God can affect and change the real world. And Scripture acknowledges that there is a way in which this world works over here that's different than the way it works in the kingdom. And in our proverb this morning, the Scriptures actually give us wisdom, because that's what Proverbs is all about, right? Wisdom. It gives us wisdom on how to get ahead in that real world that we like to differentiate. If you want to get ahead, don't exalt yourself in front of important people. Don't claim a place of yourself among the great. It's better for them to say, come up here, than it is for you to be humiliated in front of everybody. I mean, that's how you get ahead. I mean, no one can deny this is like solid advice from Proverbs, right? Mother Teresa, Gandhi, Martin Luther King, they never exalted themselves. In fact, I'm willing to say that no one great ever exalts themselves. But this advice in Proverbs, it reminds me of a statement by the comedian Lillian Tomlin. She says that the trouble with the rat race is that even if you win, you're still a rat. Well, the advice in Proverbs is great at getting ahead, but it's getting ahead in the rat race. In the kingdom of God that Jesus calls us to lean into, it comes to undermine and destroy the hierarchies and the kingdoms and the sinful systems that we've created. Jesus comes to show us a way out of the rat race. So there are two systems. But we render our faith useless if we think that it doesn't have anything to do with the real world. And Jesus, he comes along in our gospel story, and he does something different with the advice given in Proverbs, because it's the same advice. Jesus just tells it in a parable form. See, Jesus uses the system of the real world and the teaching in Proverbs to tell us about God. Jesus finishes it off, unlike Proverbs, and says, "All who exalt themselves will be humbled by God, and all who humble themselves will be exalted." I mean, see, Jesus knows that there's a correlation between promoting oneself in the presence of others and promoting oneself in the presence of God. If you promote yourself in the presence of others, you're going to do that in other areas of your life, including with God. How we engage others is exactly how we engage God. So if you've ever wondered, well, how would I be in the presence of God? Well, you already know the answer to that. How are you in the presence of your fellow parishioners? How are you in the presence of the people that bother you the most? How is your attitude towards the homeless and the poor? How does your heart respond to the news that families are being divided at our border? That's how you respond to God. And if you exalt yourself above anyone for any reason, you'll exalt yourself in God's presence. And Jesus is warning us against that. Jesus, he once tells the story. I like to tell this story a lot because it's Jesus' story and it's good. It's a story about two men go to a temple, a tax collector and a Pharisee. And the Pharisee gets up, goes straight up to the altar and says, "Lord, thank you that I am not like other people. Not like a robber, I'm not like an evildoer or an adulterer, not even like the tax collector. I fast twice a week, give a tenth of all that I have." The tax collector would barely come in and stood at the back and said, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." And Jesus says, "One man went away righteous." In the first paragraph of our scripture today, Jesus undermines the rat race by telling us how we act in the world matters, not only to other people, but to God. And then in the second paragraph of our gospel reading, he gives us practical advice about not living in the rat race. He says, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, don't invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, in case they invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. We live in a quid pro quo society, don't we? And all that means is something for something. Now, Connie Rich, you guys threw an awesome banquet for your 50th, right? I know you. I was there. You invited me. But I know that you didn't invite people so that they would invite you back. That's not what Jesus is talking about here, right? Next week, when we have our banquet for the bishop, we're not inviting those people so that when they have a dignitary come, they may invite us back. We're doing it as a service. That's not where Jesus is going. Jesus is fighting this quid pro quo society. You do this for me, I'll do this for you. I do this for you, later you owe me. That's what he's trying to get rid of. And he comes along and he subverts and he challenges this system because it's a rat race. Jesus is saying, yeah, there's this real world that's not the kingdom of God, but the kingdom of God is here to topple and overturn and revolutionize the people of the real world. See, our faith is more than just about getting our private souls into heaven. I actually have no interest in Christianity if that's all it's about. Because that kind of understanding of religion and Jesus and what God has come to do is actually really boring to me. See, Jesus comes that the whole order of things is turned upside down, which is really right side up because it's God's kingdom. When we talk about salvation, it's not about just us getting into heaven, but it's salvation of the entire created world that we're talking about. Jesus comes to set the whole world back in order. And when we're living into this kingdom of God way, when we're living into the way of Jesus, God is bringing God's kingdom through us into the world. And when we live into the old system, the ways of hierarchies and quid pro quo and competition and exalting ourselves, we actually hinder the kingdom of God. See, the only way to live in the upside down, right side up kingdom is to make yourself a servant of everyone. It's to humble yourself in the presence of others. It's to be exceedingly generous with your whole lives, with your money. And God says that God will reward those who are truly generous. Because God, like God's self, they extend their generosity to the most unlikely of people, and they have no thought of reciprocal gain for themselves. I mean, God, that's what God does, right? God extends God's generosity and love and grace and mercy on you. And God doesn't ask for anything in return. Well, that's what God asks us to do with each other. It's all about love. Service is about love. Humility is about love. Generosity is about love. And it's not our love, but God's love. God's love for all of humanity flowing through us. See, the real world is flipped and turned upside down by the kingdom of God when we love and we serve and we pour out generosity and we live in humility. But we have to change our mindset. Everything is spiritual. Everything you do has a God component to it. And we have to understand that the realest way to live in this world is God's way. Everything else is a poor, inferior system that will play catch-up to that. I want to end with the words of St. Paul. Because he says this in two sentences. He says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, God's pleasing and perfect will." Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen.